Heavenly Father, we ask for the work of the Holy Spirit upon our lives as we read and study the Word and as we live it out. Lord, I ask and pray tonight that your Word would get into our hearts and we'd believe you and receive what you say, and that what we see you do in Scriptures, we would know that you are that way. And we would not limit the Holy One of God. We would not limit you by our thoughts or of how we think you don't do these things in our lives, so that we would not limit you. So we're asking and praying tonight that you would equip us to serve you in these last days, knowing that the Antichrist is coming. Lord, we decide we got to work now. We've got to get this gospel of Jesus Christ out to all who would listen. So I pray that your blessing would be upon us as we study the Word of God, and that we wouldn't be wimpy Christians. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, 1 Samuel chapter 19, first thing in my note says, ask forgiveness. That's done. Next thing, verse 1. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Now, I've read through this hundreds of times, and it just hit me today. I mean, this is his father-in-law. This is the king. This is kill him. And I just lay it out this way. It's not poor David, okay? It is not, oh, poor David, okay? He's not a little boy, right? He's not, I've used the word wimpy already in my prayer. But he needs to be equipped, okay? He's already anointed king, and he needs to be equipped. You know, we have this saying that we use and live by, that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Now, I don't know if you can imagine the rest of your days doing less for the Lord, or do you imagine the rest of your days doing more for the Lord? And maybe that's what I really exist up here to do, is to stir you up unto love and good works, and to stir you up unto the trust that God has asked of you, that he will lead you through every circumstance. He'll lead you through every trial. He will even, right, bring you into a spiritual warfare that's seemingly that Satan's going to pick you apart, but God wants to use all of that to prepare you, okay? Now, I've entitled tonight opposition or contradiction, right, whichever way you want to take that. And just want to instill in your heart, because sin kills, right? You see this, the sins of Saul now are setting about to kill another. It began this way in the beginning. The sins of Cain killed his brother. Okay, sin kills. So if sin kills, then sin is exceedingly sinful. And if sin kills people, then there's got to be a people who will stand up and resist. And or let me use these phrases out of Scripture. There'll be a people that'll strive against sin. There will be a people who will resist the devil. Okay, so you think of these phrases that I'm putting before you. They're Scripture, and again, Saul wants to kill David. Sin kills, right? This is, get it into your heart. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Right, we've studied this out. The carnal mind is death. I mean, this is, if we yield, if we as the church yield to the works of the flesh and or believe that we, having begun in the Spirit, should be perfected in the flesh, it'll kill us. So you think of striving against sin, you think of resisting the devil, okay? And then the other one, enduring temptation. That's the combination. See, and I could have easily entitled tonight, you need endurance, or we need endurance. But I believe there's a wonderful Holy Spirit understanding. David was anointed king. Remember how Samuel came out and David was the last one forgotten about? They bring him in and the Lord says, this is the one, arise and anoint him. The Holy Spirit came upon him from that point forward. When you see Jesus' water baptism, Holy Spirit comes and remains upon him. He immediately goes out into the wilderness to be to be tested, tempted. Now hear this, opposed by the devil. Okay, what was the opposition? Well, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." What was Satan's line of opposition as the adversary? What was his line of opposition? If you are the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. Immediately opposed what God said from heaven. Make no mistake about it. You read this Bible by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to teach you because you're born of Him, and the Spirit within is instructing you, teaching you in the Word of God. Even getting into the Bible will be opposed. Satan will do everything he can. Your flesh that is contrary, right, will do whatever it wants to do. Sin will keep you from the Bible. But here's the most wonderful thing. The Bible will keep you from sin. And I just offer this up. We need opposition. I don't know if anybody talks like that. Jeremiah was opposed by his family. Jeremiah was opposed later on by the kings of Judah. He wouldn't have been ready for the opposition of the kings of Judah because the princes, by threatening him over and over, and he just kept saying what the Lord wanted him to say. We need a church like that, that no matter what opposes us, we will continue to speak everything that God wants us to say. In fact, Jesus warned that his apostles would be brought before men, before governments, before synagogues, and they would be brought, and they were not to rehearse and plan ahead what they were going to say, but they were to be ready to stand in the face of all that opposition, and they were to declare what the Holy Spirit said. Now, Jonathan, you're ready to go back to Chad, right? Do you know what's going on in Chad? Have you been paying attention in the news? Right? Opposition, right? Okay? I mean, you can go right through each country. You have these pockets of opposition. Now, I just offer up to us tonight, David's anointed king, he has not sat one day on the throne. In fact, he doesn't sit on the throne for 10 years. You hear that one? See, as you begin to follow the Lord and then you begin to read and trust and the Spirit of God fills you and then you begin to experience that baptism with the Holy Spirit, which gives you that greater power over sin, temptation, and a greater power for works of ministry. It said after Jesus was tempted 40 days in the wilderness and he did not sin, that he came forth in the power of God and he went forth to preach and to teach in Galilee, and he came to Nazareth and he opens up the scroll and he goes to Isaiah 61. Again, they weren't numbered yet. And he described the Spirit of the Lord upon him and declared a messianic, you know, power to open the eyes of the blind, to set the captives free. And Luke records that when he went to Nazareth, that he was opposed. He was opposed. They took him out to the edge of the village. Don't think Nazareth was ever a city. It is today. They took him out to the edge on the cliff, and they were going to push him off. Opposed. Now we come to chapter 19. Saul opposes David. Is there a greater opposition than I'm going to kill you, right? Satan will kill you. He will make it look like this is God's voice. He will make it look like, because he can masquerade as an angel of light. He's not everywhere. He just makes it seem like he is. There are other, again, a third of the angels fell together with him, demons, the evil spirits that again, minions, if you will, of Satan, to go forth to cause all manner of temptation and trouble for those of us who have inherited salvation through Christ Jesus. And I offer up to you, this is the work of the devil. Sin kills. Saul, in his sin, is uttering now murderous threats to his son-in-law, to his servant. Now, find your way over to Hebrews 12. Lest you grow weary of this Bible study tonight. Do you know the person who doesn't like to be stirred up to oppose? That's a lazy person who does not want to be stirred up. But in this Christian life, you will be opposed. And I'm going to say it to you, you need to experience opposition, so that when real trouble comes, you don't just roll over like a puppy dog So you would submit unto the devil. We're told to resist him. We're told to submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now in Hebrews 12, this is my hope and help for all of you. Been praying Colossians 3 for all of us to set our hearts and minds on things above. Hebrews 12:2 says to look at Jesus. Again, I don't know how I could emphasize that more. Looking unto Jesus. Even though we're surrounded by a greater cloud of witnesses, you have all the Old Testament saints. You have David, but you don't look to David. You have Moses, but you don't look to Moses. You have all of these Old Testament saints who by faith did some amazing things and God used their lives and some lost their lives. And you go through all of chapter 11. And if you're very careful on this, we still don't look to any of the saints. A particular denomination, right, headquartered in Rome, the man with a funny hat. Well, they don't have a man with a funny hat right now, right? They pray to the saints. You need to understand something. Hebrews 12 is very clear. Again, we pray to God our Father. We look unto Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I lay this out before us, not in a being, you know, angst or anything like that, but rather by the Holy Spirit letting this word settle into my heart that I might have something to declare to you. And as it were, the Holy Spirit put this on fire for me. 1 Samuel 19, on fire for me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So just look unto him. When were you saved? How did he save you? You heard that gospel. He's the author of that. He knew that before you said yes. And when you said yes, again, he says, I knew you would. Yet he never, ever took away your free will to ask for forgiveness. And it's an amazing thing as you look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith, and look at him. How did he live? Right? This is what we're looking unto. So even as I have you set your hearts and minds upon things above where Christ is now seated and where he's on that throne, and this is all victory. And yet, where is the church that prevails over the enemy? And I'm just offering it up to us. That's going to be us. The least likely, if you will, the not so many wise, mighty, or noble, or right? Or again, even in numbers, but I just offer this up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, and here's the power. That's his life laid down. The power of his life laid down opens up the way for us to go to heaven. The cross struck into the heart of God. See, and you got to see and know what this is. You look unto Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here's where I get our title tonight. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. He's opposed. The King James says that he had such contradiction of sinners against himself. Now, you want to call tonight's title opposition, you want to call it contradiction, contrary, again, hostility. Welcome to tonight's Bible study. We find Saul speaking to his son Jonathan and to all of his servants, and he gives the official command to kill David. Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, my father Saul seeks to kill you, therefore please be on your guard until morning, and stay in a secret place and hide. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe I will tell you. Thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. He took his life in his hands, he killed the Philistine. The Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Now, I offer up to you in this understanding that sin kills. James describes temptation. Well, let's go there. Let's look at that. James 1. And 15 is the key verse, as you would understand how sin kills. But the context is beginning in verse 12, James 1, 12. Blessed is the man. Oh, how happy is the man who endures temptations. What do we do when we're tempted?
Oh, I'm just being tempted.
Our Lord was tempted in that wilderness. What did he do? He came through that with power. The word of God for him was, again, I'll quote it from Deuteronomy 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And he answers the opposition, and he defeats the opposition with the truth, and he is able to resist the devil. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Because if you're not approved, right, you don't endure temptation, you give in to sin, there's no crown of life. Sin, what does it do? Sin kills. The current culture of the world, which has been invited in into the church, now through the front doors, you won't even hear sin called sin anymore. The Lord has promised a crown of life to those who endure temptation. You need endurance. Straight up, right? You need to be opposed, and you need to be opposed so that you can withstand. And so God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With the temptation, what does he do? Makes a way of escape. And as he does that, the Bible is very clear. You will be able to bear it. Okay, that's the promise. And as you strengthen this tonight, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. This is James 1:13. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Hey, wait a minute. How could Jesus be tempted then? Aha, glad you asked. Fully God, what? Fully man. How does Satan come to him? Did he come to him as Son of God? No, he came to him as this man is being declared to be the Son of God. He comes to him to tempt him in his flesh, right? You understand that? God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Do you hear that one? Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Satan had to come to Jesus at a very base, common hunger as he was fasting. He uses a natural desire, but having fasted all that time, he moves in to tempt him to prove he's the Son of God and satisfy his basic desire, hunger. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now, Jesus never did that, did he? He would not give in to that temptation. When desire has conceived, see this. Saul's full in by the time we get to chapter 19, verse 1. That desire to kill David, remember how he had done it, trying to get the enemies to destroy him, and now he's full on in a, if you will, a military move to arrest and kill David. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, right? It's not called a syndrome when it's full grown. When it's full grown, it brings forth death. So we, as those that would oppose everything in this world that stands and has exalted itself above the knowledge of God in the weapons of our warfare to be strengthened to withstand. Because if we take a light attitude towards temptation and sin, we just might not really believe that sin will kill us. Okay? So verse 15, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, no shadow, no turning. Father of lights, there is no darkness in God. There is absolutely no masquerading, no hidden darkness. And so you can trust Him that whatever has come into your life as a Christian, He will provide a way out for you. Okay, so that what? Sin doesn't have to kill you. Sin killed Jesus, not His own sin. See, the Father laid the iniquity of the world upon Him, and He goes to the cross, and sin kills Jesus so that sin doesn't have to kill you. Now, we should keep going. Back to 1 Samuel 19. Look at verse 4 with me. David says to Saul, Jonathan spoke well of David, and he said, hey, David hasn't sinned against you. Why would you sin against him? Okay. In the church, if your brother has sinned against you, Matthew 18, verses 15, is it 15 through 18? You go to your brother, right? And you work that out. And if your brother won't receive you, if he does receive you, you're restored. Luke 17, right? The understanding, if your brother has sinned against you, go to him, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Over and over and over and over and over again. Sin will kill the church. You understand that? Sin will kill the love of God. See, and as we hold to this tonight and we look at this and just in this understanding, I offer up to you, right? We will be opposed. In fact, before you go to bed tonight, you're going to be opposed. Some way, shape, or form, temptation will come, or a thought and memory of what somebody said or did to you tonight, or maybe a thought of what happened today. Again, these are the things, again, you will be opposed. So, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So look at David endure such contradiction of sin against himself. I offer up to you, if your brother sins against you, and again, or if, again, it's like, who has sinned against you? You must understand how to, right, not grow weary, how to not faint, how to not yield over this truth of when one has sinned against you, and they won't work it out with you. What do you do? I offer up to you, what did Jesus do? He died to it. He forgave. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Is that because they asked for forgiveness? No, they were continuing. We see with David, David's not even the one directly in contact with Saul. Why not? Because if David was in direct contact with Saul, what would Saul be doing? He'd be killing him. Okay. Now, we come to this place that I would offer up to you what I believe the Holy Spirit showed us when he said we were Sardis, having a name that we're alive but we're dead. We're Sardis no more. But there, don't miss this part of how important this part of the seven spirits of God. So he who has the seven spirits of God says, you have a name that you're alive but you're dead. What a great way for Jesus to introduce himself to the church of Sardis. And you say sevenfold spirit. Again, not seven holy spirits, the Holy Spirit. And it's recorded for us in Isaiah 11 that it's prophetic that this shoot would come out of dry ground. And it's a reference to the Messiah. 11:2 says that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. And hear this, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I offer up to you tonight what we're looking at in chapter 19 is the spirit of counsel and might. So you know that there is no wisdom, understanding, or counsel against the Lord. Do you hear that phrase? It's a proverb. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Now, Jonathan is bringing Holy Spirit counsel. Do you see it? Jonathan is bringing Holy Spirit counsel to his dad, to King Saul. He says, look, David has done you good. David is innocent. And that's Holy Spirit counsel. Right? Now, I offer up to you, we need the Holy Spirit. The church in our city needs the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism with the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. David needs the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And I offer up to you in this counsel and might, let's take a look at the might. See, this is the real power of God to stand against all. Okay, are you hearing me? Why do we need to be opposed? So we wouldn't just roll over when Satan comes, or we wouldn't just roll over when temptation comes. Oh, I'm being tempted again. I guess I'll do it. Oh, I just had the thought. I guess I got to do it now. Listen, striving against sin, Hebrews 12:5. Striving against sin, right? Resisting the devil. You hear these phrases? Every one of them is brought about in our lives through the equipping of God's Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit upon our lives. So welcome the opposition and say, Lord, I do not trust in my own desires. I don't trust in my own response. I ask that you would give me might by the Holy Spirit to stand against that which is opposing. I don't know if you thought that if we get all three doors open this summer to Valley City, Jamestown, and Wahpeton to start Bible studies, if you thought that that open door would come without opposition, the Bible reveals, right, when God opens an effective door, Paul says, and there were many adversaries. And if we do three in one summer, I'm just anticipating all the opposition we have faced, all of this knitting our hearts together in love, in brotherhood, sisterhood, oneness, to withstand the enemy, we need the counsel and might of the Holy Spirit. So you'll notice the counsel that comes by the Holy Spirit through Jonathan to get Saul to stop. Saul then swears, he, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. Have you learned enough to know Proverbs 26, 24 through 26? Young ladies, don't believe the man when he says, well, I'm a Christian. He'll lie to you. He'll absolutely lie to you to have his way with you. Okay? Proverbs 26, 24 through 26. And just remember, Saul wants to kill David. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. Okay? What did our Lord teach us? Hatred in the heart is the same as murder. You believe him? Oh, I wouldn't murder. Okay, just, you're catching this, right? When John writes his letter, he says, and love your brother and don't hate your brother like Cain who murdered his brother. And that's, and he's writing to Christians. It's very important. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. I exhorted and encouraged genuine church. Genuine, right? No deceit. Let your love be without hypocrisy. 2 Corinthians 6 this past Sunday. Unfeigned agape. Okay? And you're looking at this. And deceit. If we deceive with one another, we are inviting Satan to have a foothold to tear us all apart. So you can't lie to one another. Because when you lie to someone, you hate them. Do you hear that? So I charge you tonight to go forth truthing. Right? Not saying some things sometimes is actually deceit when you should be saying what is to be said. Okay? When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. You hear that? When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. But he took an oath. As the Lord lives, what does the living God mean to the one who's uttering murderous threats? Do you know that John, when he writes his letter, says that no murderer has eternal life in him? By this you can check the children of God and the children of the devil, because they manifest into this one thing. A child of God is righteous. A child of the devil sins. And he lays it out. What are we doing together? We're helping each other strive against sin, resist the devil, because he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may tickle. He'll kill you. Now, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic at all. I am trying to put forth what I believe in chapter 19 comes in such a way that you can see Jesus had such contradiction of sinners against himself. And more proverb here before I go on. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Do you see why I'm instructing young ladies not to believe every man who comes along and says, you're beautiful, I love you, I'm a Christian, I want to be with you? Don't believe him. Now, that's just an example, because it also works in every one of our lives. You know? Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Now, spirit of counsel and might. Spirit of the Lord upon a counsel and might. Okay. Verse 8, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now, why did Saul hate David? Well, chapter 18, verse 30, last verse, says that his name became highly esteemed. Envy, hatred, jealousy, right? Works of the flesh. And he wanted to destroy him. His name became great. What's verse 8? Verse 8 is the might of God. It's the might of God's spirit upon David. Is it because David is big and strong? I don't know if you thought Samson was like worked out at Muscle Beach and looked stronger than everybody. I imagine Samson being normal, not muscle bound. Okay? Are you hearing me? See, and when you understand this war again, David went out, fought the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, they fled from him. Verse 9, now a distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house and his spear in his hand, and David was playing music with his hand. What's in your hand? Right? A spear or a guitar? Okay? Now this place of testing the spirits, 1 John 4, it's worth a look at it tonight. This evil spirit that comes upon Saul, and The same warfare goes on today. Someone said, oh, that person's crazy. I said, no, they're sinning. Do you hear that? It's a tough one, isn't it? That person's crazy, they're angry, something's wrong with they, and then what's coming up? The test of the spirits has to be done. Make a decision. Pray, decide by the counsel and might of the Holy Spirit. Because it would be stated, if anyone would go back and examine Saul's life, they would say he was mad. He was crazy. Some might go as far to diagnose him with some, you know, falsely called science diagnosis of a philosophy of man and attribute some dysfunction to Saul. The Bible never says that. Okay? Is it because God didn't know about what would happen in the 1950s and forward? 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. See, that gift of discerning of spirits, don't be ho-hum about it. Okay? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Every spirit, right? Many false prophets have gone out into the world, and now they have YouTube channels. Never before has there been a platform for all the false prophets to do what? Spread their lies and deceit. Yeah. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that is not has come has that Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That's the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Paul should write a song about that and sing it on Wednesday night, like tonight. I just offer up to you, okay? Counsel and might. Why do you need to be opposed? So that you would know the might of the Holy Spirit is in you to be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. And to say no to the sinful temptations of your own carnal, fleshly, sinful desires, that you would now have the power to say no to them. And that this world that opposes you, you would learn to live separated from this world, 2 Corinthians 6, not being a partaker of the sins of this world, called to be out of this world and in Christ. Now, I don't think I'm stretching the scriptures at all. I'm not even stretching them to make them fit. This is what this is. A distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in his house and his spear in his hand, and David was playing music with his hand. Saul sought to pin David to the wall. Now, look back at verse 6 with me. He just swore, took an oath by the Lord. So what does James teach us about oaths? He says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Everything else is of the evil one. So did you believe Saul? Okay. See, we don't because we know the rest of the story because we read ahead. But you're going to be in the situation lifetime. Are you hearing me? You're going to be in the situation lifetime. We must pray. We must have the Holy Spirit. We must, right? What's that counsel? What's that Holy Spirit counsel? Yeah, every one of us needs an outside voice. We get so close to the situation. What happens to us? Right? We want to believe that the person is not deceiving and has hatred and wickedness in their heart. We want to believe, and therefore we're deceived. And hence the need for the outside voice. Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear. I'll say it again here. Sin kills. Okay? But he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and kill him. Sin kills. Are you convinced? Satan will kill you, right? Spiritual death. Again, if you don't endure to the end, do you hear that part? I was walking today with my wife this afternoon. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, I know so many people now who didn't make it. You hear that? I know so many people who didn't endure to the end. Now, I don't know if it's over for all of them. I don't know that. Okay? Sin kills. He sent messengers to David's house to watch him and kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, Michal, David's wife told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. Oh, that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon us, and you'd be praying for one another, and you'd pick up the phone and give that Holy Spirit warning and counsel to one another. There's times when I'm saying things to people and I stop and I said, you need to understand what I'm saying to you right now is from the Holy Spirit. It's not just me giving you good counsel and advice. This is the Holy Spirit wanting you to be warned right now. Okay? Michal gave him Holy Spirit counsel. If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. I think Jonathan and Michal know what Saul is capable of doing. Okay? So Michal let David down through a window and he went and fled and escaped. Rahab let the men out for them to escape. Saul escaped Damascus when the government, the governor of Damascus, they had laid a plan to kill Saul. You hear this? So, how is it that you could have such a powerful life to withstand the enemy and be equipped to stand for others so that you can go forth and share this gospel and you can go and stand against 1,000? Okay? Do you know what David's going to go on to do in about 10 years? He's going to be very victorious. But if he doesn't make it through this one, okay? Michal took an image and laid it on the bed and put a cover of goat's hair for his head and covered it with clothes. Now, don't just assume that's an idol, okay? We all know how you can make it look like somebody's sleeping in bed, okay? Takes goat's hair for his head, covered it with clothes. Saul sent messengers to take David. She said, he is sick. Oh, she told a lie. Listen up. Get a hold of yourself. If Satan comes and asks you, can I kill you? Will you oppose him? Or will you just give him what he wants? They're coming to kill David, and what does she do? Okay? She opposes. Rahab had to do what? Had to oppose. If you're smuggling Bibles into China, would you tell them that you're smuggling Bibles into China as you go through customs? And they ask you, what's in your box? Oh, there's Bibles in there. I can't tell a lie. Listen, stop living under that falseness. Understand what we are to be doing. I'm not promoting lying. What am I saying? Okay, you need Holy Spirit counsel and might. What are we doing? Okay? If you're going to save lives, do you go to the one who's trying to kill them and say, can we please, please, pretty please have them? Okay? You don't ask permission of the enemy. Okay? Is this getting through to us tonight? Sin kills. David would be killed. Saul sent messengers back to see David saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him. Okay, what happened to that oath before the Lord that he's going to live? See, the enemy lies. So you are to go out wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You may lose your life, but don't fear him who can destroy the body. Fear him who can destroy the body and send the soul to hell. You can always be right in that place as you understand that. And when messengers had come in, there was the image in the bed, cover of goat's hair for his head. Then Saul says to Michal, why have you deceived me like this and sent my enemy away so that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said to me, let me go. Why should I kill you? Now, I'm not condoning anything Michal is doing. I'm just saying she's doing everything she can to save David's life. So David fled and escaped. Now, you've got this in verse 10. You have it in verse 18. Okay. You have it in verse 2, fled and escaped. So at the Holy Spirit Council, taking note, this time he goes to Samuel in Ramah and tells Samuel everything that Saul had done to him. And then he stayed with Samuel in Naoth. Now it was told Saul, saying, take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as a leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Saul was told, and he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Sound like Elisha and the three times that the king commanded him to come down, sent a commander with 50, and he calls fire down from heaven upon the first group, upon the second group. And the third guy is really, really wise. And he pleads for his life instead of saying, thus says the king of Israel. See, are you willing to oppose the enemy? The deceiver, the liar, one who prowls about like a roaring lion, are you willing to oppose your own temptations that are in you? Or are you just going to roll over and say, well, I guess I got to give in? Your thought life. Are you hearing me? That the battleground is in your mind. If you yield up to Satan's worldly definitions, you've already handed it all over to him. You're agreeing with his counsel. Colossians 2:8. Okay. The philosophies of man will kill you, rob you, cheat you. Okay. Verse 22, then he also, Saul, goes to Ramah and came to a great well that is at Sichu, and asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they are at Naoth and Ramah. So he went there to Naoth and Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied till he came to Naoth and Ramah. He stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Now, do you believe in the might? The Holy Spirit, counsel and might. They're coupled in Isaiah 11:2. Wisdom and understanding go together. Counsel and might go together. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Though all the prideful would gather together with one counsel to say they're going to defeat the Lord, it would come to nothing. Psalm 2. Right? That's used sharing the gospel in the book of Acts. I mean, what am I saying to us? There's a great contradiction. Right? You are opposed. Are you hearing me? Let's wrap up by going to Galatians 5:17. Now, when I see 5:17 in the morning on my digital clock microwave, I always think, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. But I offer up another one to you tonight. Galatians 5:17. I ask you, do you need the Spirit of the Lord upon your life? Do you need wisdom and understanding? Do you need counsel and might? Do you need knowledge and the fear of the Lord? Now, the real might of God is to be able to stand against, by yourself, to stand against all that would oppose you. Maybe it's 1,000 voices that have spoken against you. Maybe it's 1,000 lies of Satan floating in your head for the last year. or last week. I don't know how fast. No, I just offer up to you. Okay? For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And this phrase, right in 5:17, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, the real might, and again, now I'm going to, I got some more to read, if you guys still want Bible in your Bible study, all kinds of references, or if you just want this study, but this is what I offer up to you. He is the spirit of counsel, a course, a plan for the future. Where are you going? What are you doing? Right? Listen to Holy Spirit counsel. It could save your life. My pastor's phrase, he says, stick with the plan. It could save your life someday. Okay? Now, he is the spirit of might, the real power of God to stand alone in God and remain against all. The Christian life is a supernatural life. All of the Holy Spirit, gifts, leading, walking, the need for the Holy Spirit to be Romans 8 Christians, not Romans 7 Christians. Romans 7, the mark is the good that I will to do. That I don't do. And then all this, all the things I don't want to be doing, that's what I'm doing. What's Galatians 5:17? That's what's contrary. Do you know that you oppose yourself? Did you hear that? You, in your nature, oppose your eternal life. Therefore, you must understand, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. The only way is to crucify the flesh with its lusts and desires. These aren't optional, you know, nice, you know, I know it's true, and yet you do nothing with it. I'm calling you tonight, together with me, to have the Spirit of the Lord upon you, that you might have the spirit of might, to be able to stand against all. So instead of having a Romans 7 experience, where as a Christian, you do those things that you don't want to be doing, and then the good that you will to do never happens. Because Romans 8 declares that there is another law that is greater, that there is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right, that has overtaken the law of sin and death. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. 5:17 of Galatians. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Do you see why the Galatian churches who wanted to go back to the works of the law to perfect their faith rendered them contrary to the Spirit? Now, I am not following a church planting manual for what we are seeking to do this summer. Now, they're out there, and people have written them. I refuse them. Okay? What I am doing is seeking the Holy Spirit to give counsel and might to withstand all the opposition and adversaries that will be there when that door gets open. Likewise, in your personal life, expect what? You'll be opposed. So don't be so wimpy at the first sign of opposition. When I'm opposed, good, I'm on the right track. Aha. That means I'm doing something right. Because when I take a stand and I do those things that God wants me to do, I consider Jesus' contradiction, his endurance, as he endured contradiction of sinners against himself. the works of the flesh are manifested in King Saul's life. How's that? And we've all done them. Okay? Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. But now let's get some references. Contradiction of sinners against himself. Matthew 10, 24 and 25. If Jesus was opposed, if you follow Jesus, you will be opposed. You hearing this? Okay. The disciple is not above his master, nor his servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? So when you have you're treated as if the power of God in your life is attributed to something that only Satan could do, right? Expect it. You will be misunderstood. Okay? Matthew 11, 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. You do understand if we go out to share the gospel, who will we be rubbing elbows with as we share the gospel? Okay? Now, perceive with me if we can get that door open to the mosque to go in and declare the Son of God, we will be spoken of so horribly by Christians all over. They'll say things like, why'd you go into them? What do you think that they are? I guarantee you we are going to have more trouble there than anywhere else when that door opens. Can you handle the opposition? Can you handle when people will speak evil of me? Okay, you got to catch this, right? Matthew 12, 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Matthew 15, 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now, I love this. Jesus, when he sat down to eat, he didn't wash his hands either. That's the ceremonial washing. That's the yielding to the philosophies and traditions and practices and fear of God taught by men. Okay? So should you submit to church history and therefore then the doctrines that have been, if they're not of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, should you submit unto them? I can't with a clean conscience. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Luke 4:28-29. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Luke 5:21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Luke 15:2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees also, Luke 16:14, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard these things, and they derided him. Let's get into John here. John 5:16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. All who seek to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Have you been avoiding persecution, wanting people to speak well of you? Have you been avoiding living for the Lord, unaware. Okay? John 7:12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, he deceives the people. John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. John 8:48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and you have a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Then the Jews, John 8:52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death? Then they took up stones to cast at him. See, Romans 7 Christian or Romans 8 Christian? Endure to the end? Because you do know that Antichrist is coming and that spirit is already in the world. From today forward, nothing is going to get better in the world. Are you understanding that? From today forward, everything in your life today is to equip you for all that's going to come and oppose you. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 describes that the Antichrist opposes all things. Right? All things. John 12:10, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. See, and this is the big one. It's subtle on a very base level to convince the church to be well accepted and liked in the world. The prevailing church growth philosophies have produced, and we're now reaping the fruit of a worldly church. How do I know that? The last 5 years was the test. Right? Who stood to oppose all of this demonic lying activity? How many churches just said, yeah, we were right with whatever the world's planning to do? Took advice and counsel, took counsel from the CDC, for example. I had a friend of mine who, when the announcement came up, so March 15th, 2020, he came in with had read in the news the CDC recommendations. And all I said to my friend, who is a believer, I just said to him, who is the CDC that I should listen to them? Now, this was not about just having a fight. This was about understanding these things that oppose and exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, so that you can resist the devil, you can strive against sin, and you can endure temptation, because in all of this opposition, Satan has an evil day planned for you to destroy your life. And he's very good at it. My pastor has given testimony here at the men's conference on how Satan destroyed many men's lives. Pastors, their lives destroyed. They yielded. And then he gave testimony how, in the perfect, evil, wicked plan, custom designed to destroy my pastor's life, that he did not lose, but he endured when he was tempted to kill another man over what that man had done to his daughter. Do you understand? I'm not here just making a serious tone. 1 Samuel 19, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Saul wants to kill David. Don't miss the actual application that he literally is going to kill him. Unless the might of the Holy Spirit intervenes, unless the counsel of the Holy Spirit intervenes. So how in the world did my pastor not get destroyed by the counsel and might of the Holy Spirit? Now, I offer up to you, I don't know what kind of Christian life you want to have. I want to have a life like Jesus Christ. You have all these witnesses in the Old Testament, but what does the writer of the Hebrews tell us to do? You have all those that are with you, but you're looking unto Jesus. So Look at him on the cross. Understand how he endured. Because you do understand he could have come down from the cross. Remember the words? Come down from the cross, then we'll believe in you. But if he would have come down, he would have lost it all. See, he won by laying down his life. So Satan was doing everything he could to keep Jesus from laying down his life. Now I offer up to you, right? Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you are weary and discouraged in your minds, your psuche, your souls. Do not yield up the study of the soul to the philosophies of men. Yield up the counsel of the Holy Spirit in everything in your life. Are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit will give you counsel. You search the scriptures, and you pray. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom and understanding and counsel. Is it the easy way? No, it's the hard way. The easy way in the world is take this pill, go see this counselor, believe everything they have to say to you, and they will kill you. Because they don't care about your eternal life. Now, will we be a church that has the Holy Spirit upon us? I have found there is nothing lacking in the Holy Spirit. If you want to know how I live my personal life, this is how I live it. Seeking the Lord in his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I do biblical decision making. And I ask counsel from others in my life who are godly. And I recognize my own ability to be deceived and tempted, recognizing my own form. So when I'm encouraging you to read your Bible and pray, that's not for you to, oh, that never works. I'm telling you that because it always works for me. Now, that's all bonus, whatever that was, for who. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Do you know that the New Testament records that Jesus had the Holy Spirit upon him without measure? He had all. Many times we need each other for the gifts and one another because we don't have it all. Many times you'll get a prophecy from one, a word of wisdom from another, and as you're seeking God out, you're like discerning of spirits. Well, I'm glad I had that, so I wouldn't have went through that door. Listen to the Holy Spirit when those warnings come. If you're being warned, right, whether it's the Holy Spirit himself with that gut check, hey, don't open that door. Or maybe somebody else has called up, hey, I've been praying for you, and I have this word of prophecy for you. Consider that Holy Spirit counsel to be very valuable. Test the spirits. No. If I continue, I'm just going to keep exhorting you all night long. So, Father in heaven, here we are tonight, learning from the life of